welcome back to this segment of the Hagman Hagman Report, ladies and gentlemen. Doug and Joe Hagman here. I want to thank each and every one of you for sticking with us over the top of the hour here. I want to extend the thanks to Mike about here, the Watchman, to lay out the foundation for that conference. Looking forward to meeting each and every one of you. We are working, folks. We're trying to get as many people who have reached out to us and says, you know, we've got one person who said, look, I've got cancer and this is probably the last trip I can possibly take. And, we're trying to get that person there. So, you know, I mean, so there's a lot of stuff going on and we really feel for the people, but I really meant it when I said that I think more than anything, to be able to meet you. I'm talking to you now, the people who are going to go there, and just to meet you. I think that to me is the most moving and the most important, because when we were at Whitestone and when I met the people, and it might seem like, wow, geez, he only talked to me for like, you know, 2-3 minutes or a minute. You know, even today I talked to my wife about the meetings, the people I met, the people we've met, and the sacrifices that were made, especially to get to Bozeman back then, horseback, and, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that there were some burros that were used by people to get up there, given the location. Not the easiest place to get to, anyway.
It is like I said, the most humbling experience to be able, I mean, it's you feel undeserving that people want to talk to you and meet you, how appreciative and nice they are. You walk away with a rejuvenated spiritual sense.
Right. We do. Now, here's a couple of things. I know Joe's got topics of his own to get into. Look, we're not going to get into the different aspects of the political spectrum, only because, frankly, you can turn on any network television channel or any news talk show.
I'll sum it up in one sentence. Chaos in the presidential race. It's just chaos and pandemonium and backstabbing and political theater.
Well, here are a few things that I do want to warn people about. And this... After hearing the situation with Tim Alberino, and just to recap that, folks, Tim Alberino and his family almost died this week. And I'm only reporting this. I knew about this pretty much within an hour or two after it happened from Steve Quayle, who of course is good friends with Tim, and he said, "Don't tell anyone, please. You know, there's stuff going on," and we didn't say a word. Knew about it yesterday. And the only thing I can say right now, Steve, and the only reason I'm talking about it now is because there's a report on an alert on Steve's website talking about the situation. And the only thing I can say is there was, in my view, a very real, legitimate attempt to kill his family, him and his family.
Yeah, that's what you mean by almost died. There were, nobody was harmed.
No, they were harmed.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but they... When I say, I just can't get into the details. Again, the reason being, this is an ongoing police investigation, and to get into the details would certainly, I'm just not allowed to do that, okay? All I can just say is this, it's not some, overhyped situation. It's something that, it could very well happen. Well, I mean, it could happen to anyone in terms of, the method, but
and it does happen to people, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, just keep Tim, his family in your prayers, please. I just ask you, and every watchman, and that brings me to the second point. I received a number of emails, or significant, two is significant to me, of people saying, "Look, there are things that have happened," and I'm not going to get into specifics because that gives the opponents, the opposition, the ideas, but in addition to tarnishing reputations or attempting to tarnish reputations, I use the example of, you know, hey, somebody's a pedophile or someone's a wife beater or whatever, to overcome that in the public perception. And a lot of times perception to many becomes reality. And we ran into this, and at least I ran into this a lot in the investigative venue, where where perception becomes reality. Do not fall. Anything that you hear about people, whether it be guests of ours or us or friends or colleagues, and it's in the negative realm, please double and triple check before you take it and say, "Oh my goodness, there's something here," because there is right now a COINTELPRO, a variety of COINTELPRO techniques, which are being employed against the alternative media. Now, I'm going to go just. I'm going to take off here and just give you the techniques,
like
to
news
watch
events,
for.
and the information we get over mainstream media. People do have a tendency to hear or believe what they hear without verifying things.
Sure, and or even worse, what happens a lot of times, and this is what I found out. That's just so crazy. A lot of times, somebody will get only. They'll hear a true statement, or a statement might be true, but it lacks the necessary context. And of course, when that happens, if you don't understand the entire story, then you don't understand then you're not going to even understand what's going on. So just bear in mind that there's a full court press out there to vilify the truth tellers. Now, how's this being done? And this comes directly from a source that I have. And they pulled out the stops. When I say they, I'm talking about the government. And I'm just going to be very quick about this, but please pay attention, because this is the playbook they're using right now. This is fresh as of 3 hours ago, and I was told to pay attention to this. These techniques are not necessarily new, but they have been refined. And when I say refined, I mean they are now in use against the people who are either behind the camera, behind the microphone, behind the printed word, those people who are involved in the conservative, Christian conservative movement, those people who are involved in every aspect of attempting to expose the deeds of darkness. Very quickly. But please, pay attention, okay? I will use, here's as an example, I'll use this, whether it be a chat room or a forum on the internet. Because a lot of our, and I've seen this a lot, and I've, a lot of people who have written us saying, I've seen this news or this information on a forum specifically. Okay. Let's talk about forums just for a moment, whether it be a conservative forum website or a progressive liberal website. It doesn't matter. The techniques are the same. But here is exactly what the government operatives, I'm not talking about bots now, I'm talking about people behind keyboards. Here is what they've been hired to do and are doing, and here's how they are doing it. And I'm going to use the example again as an internet forum or even an internet chat room. There are several techniques for the control and manipulation, for example, of a forum. No matter what or who is hosting that forum. So, let's just say you've got Christianity Today. I don't even know if that's a real thing in terms of a forum. All right. And there's postings being made by reputable individuals in the Christian venue. All right. There's such a thing called forum sliding. That's a technique called forum sliding. Think about this. If there is a sensitive posting of a critical nature, an important news event that is posted on a forum, it can be removed very quickly from public view. It could get buried through this technique of forum sliding, which is a technique that these keyboard warriors use. That what they do is they post a number of unrelated topics. They quietly preposition these topics on the forum and age down deliberately age down and prematurely the actual critical post. So the if a person comes out and says, watch out, the TPP is, for example, is undergoing this particular event, or the, or this, or it doesn't matter. You get the idea. Each of these posts are aged down because of the new posts. And these people, the keyboard warriors, are very careful to watch the times that these are published. Okay, so a lot of this happens, for example, in the dark of night, after hours, after people have gone to bed. So someone may post a story at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when a person wakes up at 7 o'clock, we'll say, and checks that forum. It's not the posting, the critical posting is no longer there. Now, each of these misdirectional forum postings can, what happens is they're triggered and it causes a forum slide and the topic slides down, ages off. Now, there's a second requirement that's, several fake accounts might exist and are created by the trolls, the perpetrators.
And we see this a lot.
Yes. And then they can be called upon to ensure that there is plausible deniability. In other words, it's not the same person posting and posting. You've got several fake accounts.
Like the Twitter followers for
very much
Hillary Clinton or Obama. What was it? 4.5 or 45 million fake followers, whatever that number was.
Just it was 19.5 on Obama, which does represent a specific number, but go on.
And they use, they have technology that allows computers to work with a human through an algorithm to speak and comment like a human being would and to make statements. They have computers that can write sitcoms right now. So
that's true. That's very true.
They don't even need the cyber warriors per se. They have the fusion centers, which hold, you know, the huge databases of computer networks where they can, you know, create programs to electronically harass anybody and everybody they want to and any amount of intensity they want to with no way to stop them or identify them.
No. I wrote about this, I wrote about some of these techniques, or I wrote about the birthing of these teams, and there were only a few hundred of them. This is back, I believe it was 2011 at HomelandSecurityUS.com. But what happens is you'll have, again, just to recap this one technique of forum sliding, you'll have fake accounts created replying to prepositioned postings by other accounts, and pretty soon you've got, and the replies will be, for example, totally unrelated and without any use whatsoever to the critical post, and it slides off the front of the page quickly out of public view, and it's difficult, if not impossible, for the owner of that particular forum to censor what is taking, you know, to manage this activity. There's also something called consensus cracking. Okay, now this is an interesting technique. It's a highly effective technique. You can see it on many forums, which is, again, it's called consensus cracking. To develop a consensus crack, I'll explain how this is done. Under the guise of a fake account posting, a posting is made that looks legitimate and even contains elements, for example, of the truth, but the critical point is that it has a very weak premise without any substantive proof being made back to the posting. In other words, there is an allegation without an allegation that contains no evidentiary value.
Right, and this is done for a reason. You know, citing Cass Sunstein's paper Conspiracy Theory, talking about creating, you know, widespread conspiracies among different groups and factions, especially on the internet, with, they say, under what conditions? And they say, you know, there's many controversies, analytics, and philosophy. We take no final stand, but what we need to do is create the as many conspiracy theories as possible in order to basically map the cognitive functions of how they are dealt with in the brain and how people identify or connect the dots and how to misdirect them from doing so. How to steal the information and just take the truth and fill it with so much lie that even though you found the truth, you believe you haven't.
That's correct. That's correct. Now, I'm going to break script for a moment and refer back to my February... actually, it was... My goodness, it was almost 3 years ago to the day, February 6, 2013, posting at HomelandSecurityUS.com, where I interviewed my source, and my source was stated the following. 2 days after the inauguration of Obama for his second term, at exactly 7 o'clock in the morning on January 23rd, something called the Cyber Warriors for Obama Project was activated. Okay.
Was that also a file that was held by Biden at a press conference? Was there a picture?
Okay. No. That was something different, but closely related. All right. Now, according to my source, he heard about this the week after the election was completed, but only saw a hard copy draft in late December. This project is being paid for through funds from Obama's political corporation, which is a 501c4 organization called Organizing for Obama. Now, my source saw a white three ring binder with, on the outside of the binder, it had Obama's circular campaign logo imprinted on the outside with the name Cyber Warriors for Obama printed in blue across the top. And I'm giving this information because there's, you know, it's important to understand here that this is not something that was done at your local Kinko's or whatever the place might be now. All right, so inside this binder were the names and email addresses of 3,575 warriors, cyber assets as they were called, listed in alphabetical order under about a dozen or so team leaders. From a separate sheet that my source was shown, most of these assets were being paid just over minimum wage, and they work from home, and they have no overhead. There's about two dozen or so supervisors at that time who, of course, made substantially more. Now, it was a tabbed binder, and in one section, the word targets, there was a section called targets, and it was a tabbed section. And it had a list of religious websites that were decidedly Christian. Another section was a listing of conservative internet sites, politically, that is. There was another tab with the label problem sites that was extensive. And then that tab was broken down into birther sites, pro-gun sites or pro-Second Amendment sites, and anti-abortion sites, in addition to many others.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's a section of the usual sites of CNN, ABC, CBS, and so on, and numerous email addresses were conspicuous underneath each news organization that also included Fox, meaning, and the reason this was included in there was not because they were enemies, but to form this wall against the alternative news. I know, Joe, you've got some information about some backroom dealings between Cruz and Rubio that we're going to get into shortly.
Yeah, there was some things going on with the debate yesterday. What happened was the two presidential candidate hopefuls, during a commercial break, shook hands behind Donald Trump's back and with an open mic. They said they tag-teamed Donald Trump at the debate and were spotted shaking hands behind the businessman's back during the commercial break. CNN hosted the debate in Houston, shared images of the moment on Friday morning showing Cruz and Rubio stepping away from their lectures to shake hands with each other while Trump and Ben Carson remained at their microphones. Now, what was basically done here, or is said to have been done, is they made a pact. Trump, they made a pact to go against Trump together, and they're going to support each other. Cruz has been, you know, attacking Trump, painting him as a liberal and an ongoing, you know, businessman fraud. And Rubio has been, you know, trailing in the polls. Its campaign is very disappointing as far as the numbers are concerned. So they're joining forces against Trump, hoping through the partnership they can combine take him down, because individually they can't. And it's not because Trump's too smart or he has all the answers or right answers. He doesn't. He just says what the people like to hear. He knows how to entertain, but do so in a way that's effective. Because of what he actually says he would follow through with, there would be changes and progress in this country. But in order to get elected, you have to make outlandish promises. Kind of like Obama. But he kept good on some of those promises, like the fundamental transformation of America.
And here's why this is important, because we always say, well, the right-left paradigm is dead, and this is all theater. But here's why theater is so extremely important right now. In order for the power structure that is behind the faces that we see on television, they must convince everybody, and I'm not talking about our audience now, I'm talking to our audience, but what I'm saying is to you, our audience, the very people who you are trying to convince that things are not the way they're supposed to be, that things are this is all just a sham, okay, that everything you see is nothing but an illusion. They are working, the powers behind the faces are working to make sure that you cannot win an argument, because perception is reality. Everything seems to be fine. So look, even there's fighting on the theatrical stage.
Yes, there is.
So it's so important that appearance of normalcy has got to be maintained as long as possible. Think about this. Go back to the sinking of the Titanic and think, remember, well, you don't remember, but those people who have, who understand the Titanic thought, all right, you know, it can't be that bad. The band is still playing. We still have the crew members, say, reassuring passengers. There are lifeboats. Yes, but there was order. There was this eerie order among this unbridled chaos almost. It almost sounds contradictory, but I guess what I'm saying to you is the powers behind the faces are working so hard to convince you that you're crazy, because look around you, everything seems normal, so it has to be normal. That's why you cannot convince your brother-in-law, for example, that things are not the way they seem. And that's exactly the reason behind this appearance of what would you call it? The theatrics, the political theatrics. We've got to keep it appearing normal.
I mean, look at Joe Biden's going to introduce Lady Gaga at the Oscars.
Okay.
That's just an example of the strange union we have in this country, and the elite, satanic elite, and Lady Gaga, what does she have to do with politics? What is the vice president doing at the Oscars introducing a Lady Gaga, a demonically inspired artist who talks about birthing a new race and having sex with demons?
But see, it again, in its insidious nature, well, things must be normal, because otherwise they'd be trying too hard, go the other direction. I guess what, you know, the end result here is this appearance of normalcy that's so important. But when I mentioned consensus, going back to the script, consensus cracking, for example, on internet forums and discussions that I'm sure just about every one of our audience members gets into, it's an effective technique, where a person under the guise, let's say, of a fake account, a posting is made which looks legitimate and does contain elements of the truth. But the critical point is that it has a very weak premise, and there is really no substantial proof, or it lacks the evidentiary value to back what the poster is saying. So once this is done, then under alternative fake accounts, a very strong position in the favor of that posting, and it could be yours, is slowly introduced over the life of the posting. So it's imperative that both sides, even though they're initially, well, it's imperative that both sides are presented, but and maintained over the life of the posting, so that the person, the uninformed person, cannot determine, well, the truth at all.
Right.
You see.
Right.
And it's the uninformed reader will most likely develop the same position that the consensus crack posting is developing. In other words, it seems, how can I put this? It seems logical. It sounds right. It reads right. So therefore it must be right, when in fact the element of the truth is missing. And it's just a mere consensus as opposed to, a revelatory fact or what have you. So.
And this is, you know, product of, again, going back to Cass Sunstein's conspiracy theories. They talk about the, how to, use conspiracy theories, and not only use them but create them, and the consequences of creating a bunch of false conspiracy theories is to foster confusion, and it produces systematic errors in the context of outcomes that are a product of social interactions among numerous peoples with different belief systems, and these consequences are significant. It can drive market forces or evolutionary pressures, they say. And they said that this is not a simple chance, rather it's somebody's plan. And it goes on to say, you know, that people generally overlook possibilities of coincidence rather than random, things being random. And it's a matter of human psychology. But most people like to believe that significant events were caused by chance than prefer
That's correct.
And so they will, they go on to say a broader point is that conspiracy theories overestimate the competence and discretion of officials and bureaucracies who are assumed to be able to make and carry away any truths that are put out in public.
And I want to thank BR for from North Dakota for sending in an email saying what you're describing is what I've seen on just about every news source from the Washington, well, just about every news source reporting on the death of Antonin Scalia, where there was this consensus cracking as well as forum slotting, but most importantly, topic dilution, which I'm going to get into here momentarily, meaning to say about the death of Antonin Scalia. So in other words, the news story is reported. Then there are the sections for comments and questions, and folks, there have been analytics done on the importance of the commentary section, the comment section. Some comments can get up into the almost 10,000, for example, depending on the site and depending on the subject. But what happens is, once you start asking questions that are legitimate questions about the news story issues, for example, Antonin Scalia, was the pillow over the head? Where was it? That type of thing, or you name the topic. Well, there will, and you can see this happen in real time. And again, BR, thank you from North Dakota for pointing this out. These individuals, the posters will come in, often under fake accounts, under the guise of sliding disinformation with real facts and linked postings. And what they will do is slide the critical questions downward, age them off, and also use the very effective topic dilution by, and this is also called resource burn. It's by implementing continual and non-related postings that distract and disrupt, which is really, I guess, by definition, trolling the forum readers. as they have to wade through this minefield of BS, this gossip mode, and this the stuff that has nothing to do with anything, until the misdirection is so intense, the facts have slid so far down, the uninformed conjecture and opinion in total opposition to the truth is suddenly just is just gone. But you can identify this through the proper assessment of the postings. And the reason, and you might think, well, none of this is important. No, it is, because this is the undergirding of the social conditioning that is taking place all across the United States today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and all across the Western world. When you have a subject like the death of Antonin Scalia, and you ask questions about the various issues, and this is a perfect example. 3 years ago, I pointed this out, that these particular cyber assets of this regime, not just of Obama, but this regime of people around them, have been employing these techniques to hide the truth. Any and every piece of information of value is handled this way, and you can see it. It's like fingerprints at a crime scene.
And just a few quick quotes from Psalm Proverbs 15: "The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of the fools poureth out foolishness. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish do not so. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness."
And that's a very good scriptural reference. Now, a lot of times there are, and you have to watch, because again, when you're looking at like MSNBC, CNN, Fox, or even The Blaze, I mean, and especially I'll even say The Blaze, Alex Jones has the problem, okay? This is why we don't have commentary on our website, only because it propagates this technique. Now, you might think this should be nothing more than a footnote in our program here. But when you understand how the social conditioning is working in order to create this false paradigm for all of us, and this is why it's difficult for you to be able to convince, for example, those people in your circle of friends and influence that things are not okay, that Scalia could have been the victim of foul play. But merely asking that question subjects you to these techniques by the very people I spoke about 3 years ago, or I shouldn't say more specifically, by the very people who my source had told me were hired and put into action in January of 2013. Now, of course, there were people before that, but we're talking this official cyber assets program that they've been instructed to infiltrate web forms, collect screen names, avatars, and posters, taglines, and attempt to resolve these to their actual identities. Now, over the last 3 years, and since I was told this, the objective to divert, disrupt, and destroy has been refined, and now there's the use of algorithms that are being employed as well. And that brings me to the fourth technique, which is information collection. And this is a very effective method to determine the psychological level of the forum members or the posters who are adding information to the articles, the stories in the comments section, to gather intelligence that can be used against them. Trust me when I tell you, they are collecting this information. So in this technique, in a light and positive environment, hey, you know what? Let's just open a dialogue or a very contrite or a very interesting, I don't even know how to put it. They appear to be your friend, but they're not. Okay.
Yeah.
From the number of replies and the answers that are provided, much statistical information can be gathered. So here's an example. Let's say an example is to post, for example, your favorite weapon. Now, I'm talking about, let's say, a forum that talks about guns, all right? And then encourage other people, members of that forum, to do the same, to showcase what they have. Now, don't fall for this. And there's a very, very well-known website that has this very, oh my goodness, this very technique about showing your gold and silver. Okay. But when you do that, think about this. Post your favorite weapon, encourage other members of the forum to showcase theirs. And in this matter, it can be determined by reverse. Well, it can be determined ultimately how many members own a firearm, what they are, and of course, you know, it could be an illegal weapon.
You take a picture of a firearm and post it anywhere on the internet, or even send it to somebody else. That picture has data inside of it.
Well, it's a metadata right to the edges.
Will tell the person who knows where to look for that data when the picture was taken, where the picture was taken, who it was sent to, you know, every and anything they need.
That's right. And once more, the reason that this is so important is because there is this information collection taking place. And I was talking with Eric Artek earlier, and he's got some really interesting studies that he's done, research that he's done. Folks, Eric the Tech is one of the most, in my view, one of the most intelligent people when it comes to items of a technical nature. And, you know, he was pointing out certain aspects of this and saying, now watch these forums, watch these threads of conversations, and watch how information is being collected. And I can hear people out there saying, well, Doug, you know, Facebook does this, and we've known about this. That's correct. You've known about this. But and I'm not saying that this is anything new. What I'm saying is, while you're looking, and we had a saying in the investigative business, basically, it's what you don't see coming is what's going to really, really mess up your day. All right, mm-hmm. Because we've done certain, and I'm giving you an example. For example, we might be in a contractor's style van, or that's parked on the side of the street in Brooklyn, and has been there for 2 or 3 days, and you know it looks like it's supposed to be there, and you're looking out a certain window, and I mean you're so focused that, you know, you're focused on the subject of the investigation and the surveillance type of action that, you know, you are like, I mean, you're zeroed in, and what happens is, you're looking as well for threats from that vicinity. You know, for example, could there be a threat coming at you? Could you be, maybe you were made, and that person or the subject you're looking at could be, coming after you. But it's the neighbor that you don't see that's 3, 4, 5 doors behind you that, you know, has the problem with you, and all of a sudden the back doors open up and, you know, you've got company. All right. Now that's a wild example. Has it happened? Yes, and it's usually because of operator error on our part. But the bottom line is, we're trying to tell you is, yeah, Facebook. We know Facebook is a collection.
And you just, yes, it's a collection. And listen to this headline from MarketWatch: Mark Zuckerberg, want world peace? Share more info on Facebook. Sharing on Facebook and world peace go hand in hand, or so says Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook. Facebook mission and what we really focus on is giving everyone the power to share all the things that they care about, and it goes on from there. They're saying that what they're thinking about doing, experiencing on a day-to-day basis, is the idea everyone has the power to share information that makes the world more understanding. It helps people to stay closer to who they love, and all these good things that we have value. And it goes on to say, this message seems to be taken to heart by Islamic State, despite efforts to exclude the group from Facebook's big happy family. But they're saying, you can create world peace through sharing of information. They're laying a foundation here. And surely world peace will not come if everybody in the world starts posting on Facebook.
And this is kind of the lead up, the foundation to what you're talking about, because again, people might say this, look, I'm tired of shut up already. We know this, but no, identify the techniques, but also understand you, what you where the threat the biggest threat is where you least expect it. All right, and you might think, well, hey, look, I'm too smart to fall for this kind of stuff. Well, there's something that, and I'm going to turn this over to you for your expose on what you just said, but understand that we all fall for anger trolling. Okay, there's something. There's always a percentage of people who post things, whether to a news story, or on a chat in a chat room, or in a forum, who are more inclined to violence. We'll say now, in order to determine who these individuals are, it's a requirement to present an image to the forum and the members of this community, this cyber community, to deliberately incite a strong psychological reaction. From the most violent in the group, the most violent in the group can be effectively singled out for reverse IP location and even potentially a law enforcement tracking. Now, to accomplish this, only requires posting a link to a video, for example, depicting a local police officer abusing his power. And we've seen this happen. Understand, when you respond to these things, you are being tracked. Trust me when I tell you this, you are being tracked, all right? Because yeah, it is that. But statistically, the million or so police officers in this country, we don't see it. It's only a small percentage, but this particular method named anger trolling is extremely effective in roping people into situations where they will say something, write something that will deem them a threat to public safety, and therefore will be put on the list, and you're it's over with.
They call this the needlework or weaving of linguistics.
It's true.
A cruel longing to weary one through a deceitful nature, and they do so by presenting lies, disinformation, and trickery, and magic or evil, if you will, just the evil practices of black magic, and they create the mix of the terrible information with the ignorant information in order to leave the mind poor. They want your mind to be poor, like my bank account. They want us to be not only morally bankrupt, not only spiritually bankrupt, but intellectually incapacitated. They, not only that, the part you mentioned about the anger, the fostering and fomenting the anger of the people.
That's right.
They're, when Russ Dizdar talks about rituals and the child sacrifices and the sacrifices, how it is done, so adrenaline flows through the blood of the person, then the person is killed and the people drink the blood and take their energy from these people through the adrenaline. They are doing the same thing in a invisible way, if you will,
a very
to
covert
harvest
way.
Our energy, and then they're turning it back on us. And we can give you hundreds of examples, but just think of the ones we've been talking about recently. You have a group of believers who believe in Jesus Christ, who are prayer warriors, Bible readers. And you talk about an issue like the rapture, and they turn against each other like they're in a civil war. Where does that come from? How can you go from loving somebody unconditionally to when a disagreement arises, now they're your sworn enemy?
Right.
That's not how the brain works, nor is it human nature. They say, when they talk about their new world order, they talk about the laws of nature, but they've manipulated those laws.
Let me just briefly interrupt you here. Are you want to take what you've got to the end of the hour, or top of the hour, or do you want to flip, or do you want to hit it when you get back? when we get back?
Yeah, we can hit it when we get back.
Okay, because the only thing I want to say about this, and you're right on the money.
Add to what you're keep.
Here's the reason that I want to make sure people know about these COINTELPRO techniques of subversion is this. There are many, many forums right now, many news stories where people, especially Christian conservatives, are on the line putting their names and putting their comments into the comment section of news stories. Now, these are being tracked. I'm not saying don't comment. I'm not saying that at all. But watch what you say and watch how you can be identified. The issues right now that are being used, for example, to push us into this subjugation and ultimately being put on a red list, for example, are the political issues, especially the political issues right now. And again, this is not to say don't comment. This is not to just recognize when you are personally being gamed, because we're being gamed as a larger population. In addition to the, for example, in addition to the Trump versus Cruz and Trump versus Sanders and Hillary versus Sanders or any combination thereof, understand that there are more issues and even more insidious, less obvious issues that when you comment or say something, and this applies to Facebook and it also applies to Twitter, not so much Twitter, but Facebook in particular, issues that are being used against each and every one of us. Folks, listen, any talk about climate change and global warming, any talk about overpopulation, any talk about mass invasion of illegal immigrants into the West or into Western Europe, the lack of border control, a universal education as a main tenet for the UN's World Police or World Peace Plan, the loss of privacy, if you espouse the loss of privacy being a problem, creation of the United States and all of the West as a battlefield against ISIS, against Islamic terrorism. That's not to say there is none, but to have it declared as such and then have you or you saying it is not constitutional, therefore puts you on that list, and also pro-constitution, such as comments about, and specific comments about, for example, Ted Cruz, his lack of natural-born citizenship, lack of constitutional eligibility to become president, and so on. I could go on, but those are the main areas right now where this group of warriors, the cyber assets, are pushing and are going after individuals. The lists are growing, folks, and the last thing I want to say about this is we are being identified, and it's not... It goes far beyond the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's such data mining going on right now. And there is now, and I believe this to be really from mid-year 2016 into September, October, November, one of the most dangerous times in the history of this country, because the very people who are on record as being pro-constitutional, anti-abortion, or just basically anti-one-world government will, in fact, be the crunch will begin.
Yes,
the pushback will begin. And it'll be subtle at first, gradual at first, and then sudden at the end. And I'm talking about, you might not be able to get you might not be able to get your utilities converted. You might not be able to get that car loan that you need. You might not be able to get that mortgage because of some problem. You might have a problem with the IRS. You know what else? You might happen to show up on a no-fly list somewhere. You might be classified as a extremist based on Christian fundamentalist beliefs. Everything that we're seeing right now is the run-up to an Antichrist central world government that is coming, and it is being finalized right now. And, of course, we are looking at... this is what we're looking at. And I will just say this in closing, folks, that... You know, you might think, well, boy, that's an hour I'm not going to get back, that's an hour I'm not going to get back. I know all that stuff, but think about what I said, because think about that not in the context of what you already know, but think about it in ways, in angles that you really didn't think about initially. And I'm talking about, and one more thing that's extremely important that I was going to mention before this. there are people out there who have been, there are individuals out there, especially in the higher echelons of society, who are reporting, who are reporting back to what I've heard some people call the brown shirts, or you know, the people who are working for the federal government. Folks, understand that, that we are under observation by people who are in the employ of DHS, and you might think that's just hooey. Show me the money. Show me
and
the
it's
evidence.
Not just us. It's everybody.
Right.
Even but, those yeah. of their own side and ideology.
Well, understand that, that we are right now treading on some very thin ice. And, you know, you talked to Dave Hodges, and we heard it from Dave Hodges this week, for example. And we heard about the various things that he had talked about with respect to how close we are. And I do believe, after seeing what I've seen over the last couple of days and putting together this, this mass amount of information, that we are closer today than we've ever been to being completely subjugated in manners. And I see things coming very quickly. And I do see that this Trump, Donald Trump, imagine a pit bull with rabies on a leash in a yard, fenced-in yard. Now, I'm not. This is not to disparage at all Donald Trump. Not at all. Okay. As a matter of fact, it's not to disparage him at all. But you can only control a person, the handlers, for example, if. And I remember dealing with the FBI and Department of Justice back in the mid-90s, and if you were an operational or informational asset, you were assigned a handler. And I was working, or remember a guy telling me, oh, that's a very offensive term. I don't like that.
Offensive okay. term, handler?
Well, right, right. So if you're an informational or operational asset for either the FBI or Justice Department, you are assigned a handler. And that person is tasked to manage you, all right?
Yeah.
So, and but imagine Trump having handlers or crews or, let's talk about Obama instead, having handlers. And let's think about Obama being a rabid dog on a leash inside a fence yard and having handlers. Well, the handlers, you know, the rabid dog might break that leash, but he's still within that yard. Now, when he gets out of that yard, out of that fence yard, then you've got a problem because you can't control what you cannot contain. Just like you cannot control what you cannot monitor.
Yeah.
And this is what we're seeing right now today in the political arena. I hope that makes sense.
And, you know, speaking of Obama, he expanded yesterday the NSA's sharing of the data intercepts. The Obama administration is on the verge of permitting the NSA to share more of the private communications it intercepts with other American intelligence agencies without first applying any privacy protections to them. The change would relax longstanding restrictions on access to content of phone calls, emails. The security agency vacuums up around the world, including bulk collection of satellite transmissions, communications. The idea is to let more experts across American intelligence gain direct access to unprocessed information, increasing chances they can recognize any possible nuggets of value. It also means officials will be looking at private messages of not only foreigners, but every American's personal information, relevant or not.
That's right. And we all know this. Anything, for example, if the if there's any current legislation being proposed for an expansion of surveillance technology or surveillance, it's already there, folks. Understand, there's nothing that you can do, nothing that you can do that has not already been done in terms of hiding your. You cannot hide your communications.
Unless
no way.
You don't say or do anything.
The only exactly, and please understand that the ramifications and what's ahead in the near term on the other side. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug and Joe Hagman reporting to you as stewards, I hope, faithful stewards of the truth and searchers of the truth. Investigators demanding answers and getting them. Be right back.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.